Providence is a funny thing. The invisible hand of God, directing all things to work according to an inscrutable divine plan. We are told by Jesus that not even a hair on our head is uncounted. Paul says that everything is for the benefit of those who love the Lord. And yet, there is so much wrong with this world. So many who, through no fault of their own, find themselves in wretched misery and without hope for improvement. There are even more who daily wrestle with their own weakness, those who in some way want to be free from their own faults, but cannot seem to get themselves out of the rut. And we see miracles like Elijah's promise to the widow. We hear stories of healings and multiplications. We hear of amazing and profound inspirations for sidewalk counselors who manage impossibly to say the only thing that could stop a girl from entering that clinic. Such gifts these things are. Yet they are all the more challenging for their beauty and rarity. How many more stories are there of malnourished children, horrifying shortages, and unhesitant abortions? Unfortunately, that last one has a number, and a very large one. And it is to things like this that our opponents direct our attention: the abundance of suffering and poverty, the physical and mental costs of having a child, the crushing lack of confidence that a selfish world gives to the down and out. Who are we to tell a suffering young girl that she, who has endured so much already, must now pay such a price? It is too much, they say. You don't know what they're dealing with. It's not your place to make that decision. Perhaps they will even blame God directly. He could have protected me from that man's assault. He didn't have to let this happen. Why is it so easy to get pregnant? And regardless of the difficulties and possible contradictions in these claims, regardless of their hardness of heart, we should still be convicted by their questions. There's an image floating around the internet right now. It depicts a man at a podium asking a crowd, "Who is against abortion?" And the whole crowd raises their hands. And in the next panel, he asks, "And who wants to adopt?" And no one raises their hands. Is this kind of caricature true? Yes and no. There are an abundance of adoption agencies, Christian and otherwise. Some domestic agencies boast of a waiting period as short as 2 months, if you're willing to cross certain racial lines. On the other hand, there are many who freely choose to wait a long time and spend an abundance of money so that they can get the specific kind of child. Perhaps they're looking more to benefit themselves than the child. But the fact is that adoption faces a number of problems. High costs, bureaucracy are a problem in many cases. Not every family is in a place to adopt. And many people see adoption as a harder and worse decision to make. Most importantly, people are unwilling to consider adoption because they and their child already feel orphaned by us in the world. They probably won't say as much, but it is true. "Whatever you did unto the least of my people, you did unto me." With these words, God Himself adopted all humanity, and especially the lowliest among them, as part of His own family. And this adoption took the form of a radical solidarity, equating their experience with His own. And Jesus takes this so seriously, He unambiguously states that our own salvation will depend on how we treat our neighbor in need. And St. John questions, how can the love of God remain in someone who refuses to aid a brother in need? And this is why we should be convicted by the challenges of the pro-choicers. We say that every human being has a right to life, and that is true. They say women feel incapable of providing for that life. That too is often true. We respond that God provides. Again, that is true. But here is where we should be convicted. God does provide, but He prefers to provide through us. It is tempting to look at the story of Elijah and the widow and think, God works miracles. He'll take care of those in need. God does work miracles, but in ways that do not follow our human perspective. Besides, that is not what is at stake here. God's message isn't, don't worry about widows and orphans, because I'll multiply the food. In fact, God constantly commands His people to care for those in need, regardless of evaluating their moral qualities. For widows and orphans, we are exhorted to care from Exodus all the way to the book of Revelation. Think more carefully about the example of Elijah. Only this one widow received the miraculous providence of God. God did provide, but He did so through His servant's presence. What if there had been more faithful servants like Elijah? Would more such widows have received such help? And that is the challenge for us. As we seek to put an end to abortion, we must always face the fact that we cannot control others and we do not know their circumstance. And ultimately, the one thing we can change in this equation is ourselves. We may not all be able to literally adopt a child from an unprepared mother, but we should have already adopted those in need spiritually. So that when people hear pro-life Christian, they should think not only of political activism, of Republicans and conservatives, no, they should also think of their generosity, their kindness, and of their ubiquity. Not only should we be willing to donate time and money to organizations that help women in need and who are in trouble, we should be everywhere that we can. Poverty, a flawed education, and lack of support from a partner are the biggest indicators of making that terrifying choice. Can Christians be found in every poor neighborhood working to alleviate poverty? Can they be found in schools promoting education based on a genuine understanding of human nature? Or teaching by example that happiness is not found in careers, in success and education, but in holiness? Can they be found creating and supporting programs to mentor the young, informing responsible relationships? Our psalm reminds us that there is nowhere we can go to get away from God. And His provident care extends from the rising of the sun to its setting, from womb to tomb and beyond. And as His servants, as instruments of His providence, the same should be said of us.